We are. We're starting our weekly chat Wednesdays, normally at 1 o'clock, but we needed to play the Mattias Ekholm press conference live. 4 years, $25 million. Big Swede will be around for five more years this season, and then the new deal kicks in next year. Chris Mason now joins us. C-Mace, what did you make of the deal that was struck, I guess, late last night? Word getting out this morning. And now it's been made official that Mattias Ekholm will be in the mix, hopefully for the rest of his career, right here in Nashville.
Well, I just have to tip the cap to David Poile, because I think he did it again, you know, and a lot goes to be said about, you know, players wanting to stay in Nashville. I think it's pretty well documented. Ekholm, aside from his consistent, dominant play over the years, wanted to be here. His wife loves it here. They love it here. He loves Nashville, loves the team. You know, you saw what guys were getting in free agency for that caliber of player. You know, he could have got millions more. So I think this is just an unbelievable signing for the Preds, and it says a lot about Ekholm and a lot about the relationship he has with the team and the city to agree to stay here and do his thing.
You know how important it is to be upright and healthy and in the mix. Hockey's a long season, as you know. You've endured it. You've gone through it. And sometimes it's just bad luck. I get it. Guys get hurt or just things happen that are out of your control. But how much do you think factored into the fact that Mattias Ekholm, basically since he's been a full-time starter with this organization, he's been readily available for every game, game in and game out, week in and week out, month in and month out. You can depend on Mattias Ekholm being there and being in the mix. How much do you think that played a part in it?
I think it plays a huge part, and I thought last year you saw no better example of it when, you know, they went through that big injury spell. Roman was out. You know, Phil was out. There's half the team was out, and then all these young players came in.
Didn't they use more people than anybody else in the league, roster-wise?
Yeah, by far, right? And I thought the way that he, you know, we all already knew that he was a leader on this team, but I think the way that he took the bull by the horns and he was more of an outward leader, everything that, you know, we heard from the coaching staff, they raved about, you know, Ekki as one of those guys that said, you know what, guys, we can feel sorry for ourselves, sit here and feel sorry for the position we're in. Things hadn't been going well for the team anyway with a full roster. Or we can try to do something about it and go out and do the right things and play the right way and see what happens. And I think that, you know, not that alone, but obviously his track record and his history, you know, you don't want to lose a guy like that. That's a guy you want to keep around. So I think Mattias Ekholm has done nothing but prove himself over and over again for how valuable he is to this team. Any team would have wanted him. There's a point when, you know, we're talking on this show, could Ekholm be moved? He's a guy that a lot of people would like. He's on the last year of his deal and all this kind of stuff. You could get a big return for Mattias Ekholm, but they locked him up to a great contract, and he's going to be a big part of, you know, building the future of this program.
Do you feel like, it just your opinion, I understand you're not involved in these negotiations, but do you feel like this plays any part in Philip Forsberg's future, getting this one locked up today?
Well, I think it does, because it gives a better vision, I guess, as a player, is like, where are you going to go? Are you going to sign Ekki, or are you going to move him? You know, for competitive this team is moving forward. So that's a piece that's locked in place. And again, obviously every circumstance is, you know, individual compared to what the player needs and what they're asking for and all this kind of stuff. But I definitely think it helps. You know, it definitely doesn't hurt his situation there, because all the guys that play here love this city. That's a big part of it. As a player, you like where you play. It's not always greener on the other side. I've been there before. Most guys have. So I think that it does, because it locks up Ekholm. It's all right. That's a major key to this puzzle moving forward. You know, if this team is going to, you know, we use the term, I guess we've overused it already, but that competitive rebuild or whatever you want to call it, you know, that's a huge piece. Like this is going to be a sleeper, sneaky team this year, you know, in terms of how they do in the playoffs. Everybody's writing them off, but they got a lot of good pieces. And obviously having Ekholm moving forward, I think, really does help Forsberg's situation.
Yeah, I think David wants to. He said it yesterday on our show. Competitive transition is how he would phrase it, rather than the rebuild.
Oh, there you go.
You've been through this as a player, so take us through this mindset. You've been the backup. You've been the starter. UC Saros. Now that Pecorine has made, you know, had his press conference and made his announcement that he's retired and he's in Finland. I don't know he's gonna be around from time to time, but this is now UC Saros' team. How do you think he's approaching this season? Because while it's still it kind of felt that way, that was the direction it was going last year, Chris, still, Pekka was there. 35 was in the mix, right? He was in the fall.
Yep.
That's no longer the case. This is UC's team. This is 74's team. How do you think he handles that?
I think he handles it in the way he's handled it so far in the preseason is like he understands that this is his team now. I think, you know, prior to last year, maybe the second half, for me talking to people or as an analyst, I would have to tell people how good UC Saros really is. This kid, trust me, this kid is one of the best, most technical sound goaltenders on the planet. He's awesome. And now I love when, you know, you turn on, you know, any hockey game or any network, and they're talking about UC Saros, and they're saying what we've been saying for years. So he put himself on the map, and last year that second half was absolutely just insane how well he played and how consistent he was for the length of time that he did. And I think, you know, that second half really solidified him, you know, from the outside media, from a national perspective, but also in your own mind. Because I feel until you completely prove yourself and other people start talking about you in that way, it's not really maybe 100%, you know, belief in oneself or that you've established or arrived on the scene as a number one goaltender. And he's been a perennial slow starter. But as you mentioned, Pekka's always been here. So there's always like, well, you know, if Juice doesn't play good for a couple games, then you're going to get, you know, Pekka's going to go in and we got another great goaltender to either guy can do that, you know, do what we need to do on any given night. But now it's Juice's team. And, you know, I talked to Ben Vanderklok and I said, how's that going? Exactly what you asked me. He said, it's been incredible. He's taken more of a leadership role. He's obviously, you know, a quiet guy. He's continues to be himself, but in terms of, you know, integrating the young guys, taking them out to dinner and just, you know, taking that leadership role, he's really embraced it. And he, you know, you saw the games, D-Mac, it looked like it was last at the end of last season going down the stretch, how good he's played.
Yeah.
Talking to Chris Mason, talking some Predators here. They open the season tomorrow night against the Seattle Kraken. And Mace, the second part of this is, of course, they did bring in David Rittich. The guys were talking about this last night on the preview show. David Rittich has actually had a couple of seasons of more starts than UC Saros has had in his, you know, biggest seasons of where he had the most playing time. So Rittich has a lot of starting experience here, but we're seeing him for the first time, of course. So give me your early impressions of what you're seeing.
Well, this is a guy who, when he was in Calgary, you know, he had some good years, and it looked like when Mike Smith was there, and I think then they ended up getting Cam Talbot. But this is a guy that's, you know, at one point was considered he's going to have a future as a starting goaltender. He's had some great seasons. But the biggest thing, you know, they brought him in is for his presence in the locker room, for somebody, you know, you don't want somebody to be knocking on the doorstep or wanting to get that starting role or to have that kind of mentality. Even though every guy wants to play every night, you need somebody that's going to understand the role, that's going to be a good guy in terms of boosting the morale, supporting your teammates, supporting Juice. And he's played well in the preseason too. And I think it's a great compliment to Saros. And, you know, I talked to Ben and some of the people at free agency, and he was extremely high on the list, if not their top guy on the list. So they got the guy that they wanted. They got the right guy to compliment Saros. And I think he's a great addition because, as you know, whether he plays 15, 20 games, whatever the case may be, you're going to need to get performance out of him. And like you mentioned, Willie, he's had experience. He's been around the block a few times, so he's been in both situations. So, you know, God forbid anything happens to Juice, you've got a guy that's, you know, played in that role and he's able to carry that load, which is important when you're bringing in a guy as your backup. And, you know, all the guys love him. You know, he's only been here for a few weeks, but everybody loves him. Great personalities, perfect guy for the role.
David Poile has said this on our station yesterday, and with our weekly talk with him. And he made it a point to say it again today at the press conference. They are going through a transition. There's no question. If you look, go back 2 years, Bonino, Turris, Craig Smith, Austin Watson, they move on from. This past year, Ellis, Arvidsson, of course, Pekka-Rinne retires, and they lost Cali Yarncroke in the expansion draft. But what he wanted to make sure people realize is that there's only three guys that play that are going to play on the opening night roster that weren't with the organization last year, and a fourth in Tomasino that was in the minors the whole year. So really what they've brought back is the foundation of what they were building as the season went along last year. So that's an interesting thing to look for that I think from the outside people wouldn't realize.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess it's the optics of the situation. If you take all the guys that got called up and end up sticking, like, you know, Jeannot and Olivier and Carrier and all the guys that came in and did a really good job down the stretch and were a major reason why they were able to make the playoffs and push Carolina to the brink. That's a fact. So they know everybody, their character and what they're all about, their practice habits. And obviously with all the injuries last year, it's not like you're calling some, you know, kid up that's playing well in the minors. He has a couple good games or bad games. You don't really know what you have in this player. So you got a lot of new faces if you look from the start of last year, but if you look from the end of last year, there's only a couple that they had to, you know, fill those spots in. So that's a good thing. And the guys they filled in, you know, Cody Glass, Philip Myers, a lot of guys with upside that, you know, we don't know exactly how they're going to fit in or what, you know, level that they're going to get to, but they have high expectations of the guys they brought in. So it's not a massive turnover if you look at it like that, but if you look at it from the core guys that we had, you know, a couple years ago, it's a big turnover, but it's not a bad thing. Every team's got to, at some point you have to do it, and it's better that you don't have to blow up the whole ship and start from scratch. So they've got a great nucleus, great core of veteran players. You know, we talked about Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, these guys, if they can, you know, increase their play and their production a little more, that can kind of offset maybe the loss. And, you know, Victor Arvidsson, Cali Yarncroke, Ryan Ellis. And then you have these young guys come in and they continue on the path that they're on. I mean, you're right where you were last year. You know, you're a competitive team where everybody's already so much has written the Preds off for seventh in the Central, which is a tough division. But I know inside that locker room and the organization, they think they're a lot better than that. And from people I've talked to outside of our organization in different circles, they always say, wow, you guys, you're a sleeper team. You guys are pretty good and better than people think you are. And that's kind of how I have the Preds picked, especially with, you know, the way that they feel about the team. It's not, they're not saying things they don't believe. They got a lot of belief in that room, and that's the most important thing if you're going to have any success and embrace that underdog role and prove people wrong.
We got our first look at the Kraken last night, who come in to town to take on the Predators tomorrow night. Give me your thoughts on what you saw from their team.
I think they're good. They have a good team. I think when the Kraken comes in, everybody thinks Vegas 2.0. That was, they're going to come in, they're going to, you know, be in a Stanley Cup final and all this kind of stuff. I don't think they're going to be like that. They're going to be a solid team. I don't think they have a lot of weakness per se. You know, I like Grubauer. They got a good, solid team. Giordano's obviously a great leader for that team to get things going. But I think they're going to have to battle and they're going to have to earn their way. And, you know, like Vegas, I think Vegas, you know, they caught everybody off guard. You know, they took the league by storm and they were extremely great defensively. And I think the Kraken, I know that they lost last night, but I think, you know, they're going to be built around that model of play, strong defensive play. I don't think they have as much offensive upside as Vegas did back in the day, but, you know, Vegas got lucky. They got a lot of guys that virtually came out of nowhere and started putting the puck in the net. So, you know, there's yet to be seen whether, you know, the Kraken has those types of players. I don't think they will as of now. But you know, they're going to be good. They'll be a good team, but I just don't think they'll be great.
We're talking to Chris Mason, Predators analyst, joining us before the Preds get their first crack at the Kraken. Yes, I had to throw that in there.
Tanner, oh, Constable.
Yeah,
Constable.
You know it. Bringing it. Midseason form right here, Mace.
Oh yeah, baby.
Tanner Jeannot was a great story last year for this team, and joining the herd as you guys call them on Bally Sports. But what's kind of the next level for him that you see as he goes in to, I guess, his second year with the team?
Well, I think he's the guy on that line, and I think we saw it early in the preseason that if somebody is going to move up a spot, I could put Trent in that mix as well. I know Olivier got hurt there, so I think Janot was the guy that they thought, okay, if we're going to move anybody up and try to fill up the middle six, he's the guy that can move up and slot in somewhere. And I think all he's done in preseason is show that he's capable of playing up on the second or third line if need be. I just think the elements that he has with his speed, his physicality, I mean, he's only, you know, played not even half a season in the National Hockey League, and I'd put him up there as one of the best hitters in the league. Just the way that he's able to do it, even when he has the puck, guys will come to him, and we saw him run over guys. It's just incredible the strength he has and that he plays with, and he's got skill. He's got really good poise around the net, in tight. He's got a good shot. You saw him dust that one off there in the preseason. He's got really good poise for a young player and a player that's as physical as he is. So I think we haven't yet seen the best of Tanner Janot, and he's only going to get better the more he sees this league. Obviously, the league will make adjustments to him as well, but I think he's that type of player that can be one of those, maybe not a Matthew Tkachuk, S type of player with maybe as much offensive upside and, you know, as I wouldn't say as gritty, but as agitating as Tkachuk, but I definitely think he could play that role and be a really, really valuable player, especially for the way that John Hines wants his team to play.
Luke Cunningham and Nick Cousins were some new additions last year, and really towards the end of the season we saw them come on and they look to make even bigger strides this year. But how important do you think it was for those two guys and then the new guys this year to have a full John Hines training camp like they just got done with?
Absolutely. I think it's massive. I think the second half of last season to me was huge, because I think until then, you know, we were all talking about it ad nauseum on the broadcast, on, you know, your guys' shows as well, is what is this team? Like, who is this team? This is what they say they want to be, but they're not that yet. I think the second half they put all doubters to sleep or to, you know, quiet up, because they proved exactly what they were. And I think coming into training camp, everybody knows what's expected. Everybody knows how they have to play for John Hines, and they had a lot of success with it. So I think the fact that, you know, Cunning came back, and the great story, he wasn't supposed to play, Forsberg couldn't play, so he played, and then he took off, and we kind of saw what the scouting report on, and Luke Cunning, good young player, skilled, gritty, goes in the net, not scared of anything, and, you know, he made such a big impact, and you're going to need those guys, because, you know, you traded some good players to get these guys, you know, and you get Cousins, another guy, and you want that agitator, got some sneaky skill, as John Hines refers to, can score the odd goal and get in there and under the other team's skin. This is what this team is going to be like. So they need those guys right off the start of the year. And once, you know, it takes a while. Once you get traded or into a new team, that's why I look at, you know, Cody Glass and Phil Myers. A lot of people, I think, from the outside just think, okay, this person's this or this kind of player, and automatically they're playing their best hockey. But there's a lot of time that it takes to get adjusted, find your place in the locker room, and then that translates to success on the ice. So I think it took everybody a little bit to get going last season, but I think we saw what they are as players the second half of the season.
See, Mace, looking forward to doing this every Wednesday with you. Thank you so much, as always. You and Willie have a great broadcast tomorrow night, and we'll talk soon.
All right, boys. Looking forward to it. Take care.
See you, Mace.
Yeah, it's Chris Mason, former Predators goaltender. Willie, speaking of that, you've got a word about Lone Pronto.
All right, let's talk Roan.
Who's Roan? Roan?
Mike Roan. He used to play for the Titans. Remember
Roan
the backup tight end? Mike Roan?
Roan State affiliate?
Roan State, yes, okay. Let's try Lone Pronto.
That'd be good.
Maybe I can get, you know, Mike Roan or other people named Roan to... Anybody? Well, they'll take anybody at Lone Pronto because they have a really good package. And the package is the interest rates are so low. They want to save you money month after month after month. They can do that at Lone Pronto, and they can do it efficiently. You're going to get that mortgage rate down, so your monthly payment will be lower, You also get to skip a couple of house payments if you act now. That's what you get with Loan Pronto's zero-cost refi. It's super popular because it's been digitalized. It's streamlined. And what does that do? It limits your paperwork. It's not as much of a headache to refinance as it used to be. The process gets done in around 2 weeks now. That is really, really good stuff for you because you don't have to go digging through everything, all your old records. A lot of times you don't even have to get an appraisal. So this is a really good thing for you. Check out loanpronto.com for all the details or just straight up call them, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 and ask about the zero cost refi. If your mortgage rate goes over 2.75 right now, you need to call them because they can save you money. Do it right now. LoanPronto.com, 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.